Wonderful to be with you this morning, and thank God for what God has been doing amongst us so far. Am I alright? Okay, so we're trusting God for more. This morning, Hali has thankfully given me a free rein, so you're taking a break from the John series, even though it was tempting because initially I could have had the opportunity of speaking on John 5, and I was looking at it. One of my most favorite verses in the Bible is in that chapter when Jesus says, "You search the scriptures, thinking that in them you have life, but they lead you to me." That's one of my favorite scriptures, and I was like, really? Yeah, that would be great to preach on that. But then, you know, as things have changed, I found the Lord draw me back to something new, which is not fully formed, but it's just something that the Lord is drawing my attention to. And so in some ways, I'm not bringing the fullness of it. I'm just giving you some of the early things God is beginning to show me in this passage. But it's put a lot of excitement in my spirit, man. And to look at the scriptures differently and to begin to see something new. So we're going to be looking at the book of Mark chapter 5. It's a very popular story, but I trust the Lord will open our eyes to see something new in that scripture. And it's the story of the woman with the issue of blood. So for this morning, I have titled my preaching, "Who Touched Me?" That's the title. If you want to get a title, the title is "Who Touched Me?" Because as we will read, if you want to go to Mark chapter 5, I'm going to read from verse 21 to 34. Mark chapter 5, verse 21 to 34, and we're going to be talking about who touched me. That was the question Jesus asked as he looked at the crowd on that fateful day. So are we there? Mark chapter 5, from verse 21. "And when Jesus had recrossed in the boat to the other side, a great throng gathered about him, and he was at the lake shore. Then one of the rulers of the synagogue came up, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he prostrated himself at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be healed and live.' And Jesus went with him, and a great crowd kept following him and pressed him from all sides so as almost to suffocate him. And there was a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and who had endured much suffering under the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but instead grew worse. She had heard the reports concerning Jesus, and she came up behind him in the throng and touched his garment. For she kept saying, 'If I only touch his garment, I shall be restored to health.' And immediately a flow of blood was dried up at the source, and suddenly she felt in her body that she was healed of a distressing ailment. And Jesus, recognizing in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around immediately in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And the disciples kept saying to him, 'You see the crowd pressing out around you from all sides, and you ask, "Who touched me?" Still, he kept looking around to see her who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had been done for her, though alarmed and frightened and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith, your trust and confidence in me, springing from faith in God, has restored you to health. Go in peace and be continually healed and freed from your distressing bodily disease.'" Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we honor you this morning, Lord, because you are a good God. As we've sang this morning, Lord, we've sang that you are a good God. We've sang just how you watch over us. We thank you because you are that guiding light. You are the one that speaks to our doubts, that speaks to our challenges, that bring us through by the power of your Holy Spirit. So, Father, this morning we ask once again as we look at this very familiar passage that you will open our eyes to something new. Lord, that you will stir in our hearts a new desire to persevere and to lean into the faith that you have given us, that gift of faith, to press into God, to believe you for the impossible, and to lay hold of your garments, Lord, to see your fullness manifest in us. So Holy Spirit, will you come and just give us clarity? Help me to just be clear in my thoughts and in my expression this morning. And Lord, I pray more than anything else, help each one of us to hear your voice in my voice. And Lord, let something rise up within us, you know, some challenge come to us to just lay hold of your truth once again afresh in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this passage, the first thing that struck me as we start that passage is Jesus having crossed over. And I was saying it was interesting listening to that song which says, he will take me safe across the shore. And Jesus had safely navigated the sea, was on the other side. And as he got there, Jairus, who was an important figure in the synagogue, because he was a leader in the synagogue, had approached Jesus and says, my child is quite unwell, very young child. If you come and lay your hands on my child, I know that my child will be whole. And Jesus agreed to come and do that. And sometimes we can relate to that, you know, because people who are important or people who are significant or people who have a significant status can approach God and can seek God and can inquire of God, can ask God to come into their situation and feel, yeah, God will probably respond to them and that will be okay because of their status and who they are and everything that they have. And Jesus was going. And that's, this passage is actually gives very good example of two personal faith. You know, people who expressed personal faith in Christ and sought him in order to come and do something really, really miraculous in their situation. You know, and so as Jesus was going into Jairus' house, and there was this great crowd all around him, everybody pressing around him. Everybody, you know, kind of trying to touch him or, you know, just know what's happening. You could just try and imagine the picture where they're saying, where is he? He's going to Jairus' daughter's sick. You know, this might be an opportunity to see a miracle. So everybody's pressing in and walking with him and going in. And, in this mammoth crowd, we suddenly get an introduction into this other character who is very, very different from the first character in the scriptures. And we talked about this woman with the issue of blood. I don't think we have a name actually. It was just a woman. You know, almost like a nameless character. And the Bible says she had been going through a very, very, very difficult situation. She says for the last 12 years, she'd been battling with this ailment, which was causing her to bleed and to hemorrhage all of the time. And, you know, you could imagine with that sort of illness, it will have a lot of consequence on both the cardiovascular system, on our respiratory system, our ability to be able to function qualitatively. Because, you know, if you're losing blood, if you're short of blood, you're kind of tired because the blood carries sort of all the vital nutrients in your body. So I reckon she'll be quite tired and quite frail and weak a lot of times and, you know, and all of that. Also, if we look at the context of the society in which this lady was operating, when you are bleeding, it makes you ceremoniously unclean, and which means that will limit our access to certain areas and to certain life, especially in terms of the religious life and the rituals that she can engage in. So this sickness is not just causing her a huge physical discomfort, it's also having a huge spiritual impact on our ability to engage spiritually with what's going on there. And I'm not going to pretend to be able to give you all the theological around that. I'll leave Ali to walk you through all of that. But just suffice to say, it brings not just a barrier to her physically, it also brings a barrier to her spiritually. Because as someone who is bleeding, there is a limit, you know, there are certain aspects of the spiritual life that she can't participate in, and she can't go into certain areas, and she touches somebody, that person becomes ceremoniously unclean. So it does bring a limitation. So she is hinged in so many ways. And the Bible says she spent a lot of her money. So she's not just sitting there idly, not doing anything about this situation. She's really, really trying her best. You know, she's expending her energy. She's expending her resources. She's not just sitting down there and not doing anything. She's actually doing her utmost best to get on top of this difficult situation that she's found herself in. And the Bible says she spent all her money on doctors and giving them everything she has. But unfortunately, rather than get better, she's just getting worse. So all her effort is just coming to nothingness. Despite all the effort and the strength, nothing was happening. The situation was getting worse. And then she caught this news about Jesus. She's heard that this Jesus, who is revealed as the Son of God, who is proclaiming the kingdom of God, who is demonstrating the power of God, and who is coming and helping people to overcome almost nigh impossible situations, is coming her way. But then there is such a massive crowd and a massive throng around it. But what really struck me, something which, you know, I really want to, is going to be the focus of what we're going to be sharing today, was she decided in her heart she wanted to meet with Jesus. She wanted to have contact with Jesus. But what she wanted was slightly different from what you would have thought she would have wanted. Because I suspect if you and I were having a problem, we would have probably said, who knows Jesus? Who can introduce me to Jesus? Who could maybe get me an audience with him or get me an opportunity to talk to him? And maybe if I explain everything to him and hears everything, or I get to one of his meetings or something, and he lays his hands on me, just as Jairus was saying to Jesus, I know, if you come and lay your hands upon my daughter, if you actively do what you do, I know something miraculous will happen. But this woman didn't go that route for whatever reason. She chose a different route. And she chose a route, rather than asking Jesus to come, she chose a route to seek him. She chose a route to touch him. She chose a route to lay hold on him. She chose a route to go after him, rather than the other way around. And she was doing this almost secretly. She wasn't seeking anybody else to do it for her. She was just going to do it herself. She wasn't going to get anybody else involved. I'm going to seek him. I'm going to go after him. I'm going to press in until I am able to touch him. And then let's see what will happen out of that. So rather than use people or use other people around her or use the religious institutions, and in some ways you could probably understand, like I said, she's been ostracized. She's got no access to that anyway. But there was something about this woman that struck me that has never really struck me as much when I looked at this passage, is, you know, that individual pursuit to seek Jesus. That's just depending on the story, the narrative, and the faith, and the trust in God to say, I just want to seek him. I'm just going to trust, I'm going to press in myself, and something is going to happen. And why, you know, if you go to 27, how have I come, why am I thinking this way? Verse 27 says, she had heard the reports concerning Jesus, and she came up behind him in the throng and touched his garment. And verse 28 says, for she kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. She said she kept saying. So that suddenly made me begin to think. That was not just a one word. That was something that she had been meditating upon. Something she'd been saying continuously to herself. Something that she's been pondering on. Something that she's been thinking on. Something that she spent a lot of time dwelling in it. She kept saying to herself, if I can touch his garment, if I get close enough to be able to put my hand on his garment, I will be made whole. She repeated that to herself. She marinated herself in that word, in that truth. She'd been thinking about it, pondering about it, meditating about it, gave herself to that thought. That thought filled her mind. That thought filled her entire being, and then it's continue to generate faith in our heart. This trust, this confidence. I don't really need anybody else. If I can just get close enough, if I can just press through, if I can just find the strength and the grace to press through, if I touch in, I will be made whole. And alas, what happened? She actually managed to get close to Jesus. She laid her hands upon his garment, and what happened? The Bible says immediately, in that instance, something happened, and she was healed. She was healed. And how did she know she was healed? Immediately, a flow of blood was dried up at the source, and suddenly she felt in her body that she was healed of a distressing ailment. Yeah, and we know that, and that's fine. But something that I had never seen before was this. And when the Bible says Jesus knew something had happened. And then he looked around, and then Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And everybody looked around and said, "What sort of dumb question is that? You're in the midst of all of these people, everybody pressing around you. So you try and imagine in that crowd, and then you turn around and says, "Who touched me?" Of course, everybody's touching you. Everybody's jostling. Everybody's doing that. You know, but something that had never really occurred to me was this. Did you notice something there? This question Jesus asked was the exact thought in that woman's mind. It's exactly the same phrase that this woman has been pondering on, has been thinking. She says, "If I can touch him, I will be made whole." Because Jesus could have asked any other question. He could have asked them different kind of questions. But the exact phrase that Jesus used was the exact phrase that was in that woman's meditation. So in my mind, as I was beginning to look at that, I thought, actually, the exact phrase that Jesus used in his question was exactly the phrase that the woman had been pondering on. And at that point, I thought, God, that is just awesome. That the King of Heaven, in order to make that woman realize that this was your moment, because that question for everybody else was meaningless and it didn't mean anything. In fact, they looked at him and said, "Jesus, you're dumb. Why can you ask such a stupid question?" But to that woman with the issue of blood, she knew when Jesus says, "Who touched me?" Because she knew that she said, "If I touch him, something will happen." And when Jesus says, "Who touched me?" That was not just an ordinary touch. Without Jesus explaining further, that woman knew what Jesus was talking about. Because she knew in her heart, because she had said, "If I touch him, something will happen." And Jesus, when Jesus says, "Who touched me?" Jesus knew why he was saying, "Who touched me?" Because Jesus knew something happened. Jesus knew the virtue had flown out of me. Power has gone forth. There is an impartation. So between both of them, there was a divine exchange. There was a divine communication. There was a mystery of heaven that was going on between this woman and Jesus. And everybody else was oblivious to it. So there is a place we get to in God where the logos, which is the ordinary, almost written word, which is just everybody else, becomes a rhema for you. Because when God's Spirit breathed upon that, when there is a linking of that which has been in your heart, which God has been brooding and speaking and speaking to you about, and in that moment something comes out, which to everybody else is just an ordinary word, almost a meaningless word, but in your spirit man, it catches something. Because there is a connection in the spirit. There is in your spirit man, in that point in time, to realize God is speaking to me there. Because there were so many people there. And everybody, and Jesus was looking. He knew it. She knew it. And everybody else was thinking, "These guys are mad. What's going on here?" Until finally, this woman came trembling. And the Bible says she told them the truth. But what was the truth she told him? "If I touch your garment, healing will come." And Jesus says, "Yeah, healing came because virtue flowed from me." And she says to her, "Woman, your faith has made you whole. That which is in your heart, that which was the cry of your heart, that which you could not alter to man, that which was too shameful to speak openly." Because you can imagine, the woman could not have come to Jesus in front of everybody and said, "Look, I'm bleeding." That would have caused quite a chaos. Everybody said, "Did you man touch me? Have I become..." Just imagine all, you know, sometimes there are challenges and there are things we go through that it's even difficult to articulate or bring out in the open. It's just in the secret of our hearts, where we're just you know, pouring it before the Lord, where it's not the most glamorous. It was not like Jairus, who could come to Jesus and say, "Jesus, my daughter is sick. Come and heal him. Come and heal her." Yeah, he could declare that openly. That woman could not declare that openly, but it didn't matter though. But the most significant thing I really want to press in your heart tonight is that in Jesus speaking to that woman, Jesus used the exact phrase that woman had been thinking about. And that made me sit for a while there and ponder on that. That place, so what happened there was a response to this woman's seeking. Because as far as we can see from that story, she initiated that. She said, "If I touch him, something will happen." But that was based on the narrative that she had heard of Jesus. So even in that desire, even in that decision, it was influenced by the understanding she had of who Jesus was. So almost in some ways, we almost have a parallel today where through the scriptures and through the word of God, we glimpse and we get an understanding of the narrative of who Jesus is. And as we meditate on God's word and meditate on God's truth, and the truth of God begins to get stirred up in our spirit man, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But when we pray according to his desire, according to his will, he hears us. And when he hears us in such a way and a manner that you know that God is hearing you, because in his mercy and his benevolent, he reaches to you in a way that is clear to you that I'm speaking to you and I'm speaking into that situation. God is such a good and merciful God that he says, when you seek me with all of your heart, you find me. The woman was seeking him with all of her heart, based on the narrative of who Jesus was, and just for Jesus to make her realize, I hear the cry of her heart. He spoke a word which for that woman was so meaningful because it had a complete link to the revelation of Jesus that she'd caught hold of. So she spoke into her heart in a way that she could understand, in a way that made sense, in a way that lifted her up from where she was, that says that faith, that exercise of trust and confidence in me and who I am responding to that. And then Jesus says, "Who touched me?" Which was the most seemingly dumbest statement you could have made, but it was the most life accelerating and inspiring word a woman could have had. Because in that moment, she knew that desire of her heart, God was putting a seal on it. And Jesus says, "You're not just going, that has not just happened. I am going to confirm it has happened. I am going to attest to it that faith, that desire, that which you have done in the secret place, that cry of your heart, publicly I acknowledge it and I pray a blessing. I put a seal upon it and you can go in the knowledge and in the assurance that your heavenly Father hears the cry of your heart, knows what is the deepest thought of your heart. But when you bring that to him, in pursuit of him, in pursuit of his glory, when you seek the miracles and the power in the narrative of who Jesus is. Now hear me and hear me right. I am not saying here that we can manipulate God and we can make God do anything we want to do. That's not my spirit. That's not what I'm saying. And I want you to hear my heart here. I'm not saying that if you decide something, you claim it, everything is going to happen. No, that's not what I'm saying here. But if you follow the narrative of that story, it all came out of the knowledge of who Jesus was. She caught a revelation of this Jesus, realized that he was the Christ. He can meet my situation and say, "Lord, if I can only touch the hem of his garment." That looked for her like an impossible situation, but God made it happen. She got close enough, but it was a response to her faith. And that began to challenge me. Because sometimes we can become so passive and thinking, "Oh, he's got nothing to do with us." But I'm thinking, actually, the word of God says, if I seek him with all my heart, I will find him. Now the impact of that and what God gives and what he chooses to do is ultimately God, but there is that assurance that seeking, you never lose out because God is so faithful. It says, whoever knocks, the door will be opened. Whoever asks will receive. And this was a personal work of faith that she persevered in. Didn't need to drag anybody else into it. It was just an interchange between herself and a maker. It was an exchange between herself and the living God. And that really, for me, really began to really encourage my heart and say, so my spiritual pursuit, my spiritual discipline, my seeking after God is not a wasted effort. Be intentional in seeking it. Be intentional in laying hold of His truth, pouring my heart before it, meditating upon it, marinating myself in it, and letting that truth bring forth something of my heart will be something that will generate a response from the heart of God. And God is so merciful. He just really, I don't know about you, I was just so excited. I said, God, the exact phrase, He says, if I touch Him, I'll be made whole. And Jesus says, who touched me? You know, it's for anybody else, it just doesn't make any sense. But for that woman, it was just a perfect question Jesus could have said. Because in that moment, she knew the God of heaven had a focus on her. I've touched the heavenlies. It's concerned about me. It cares about me. It's brought that word to me in such an, you know, there's just no doubt about it. And how many times in my own life when I've been in a situation where I've seen God breaking and just giving me such a word, and I'm saying, I need to press in for more of that. I need to yearn for more of that. I need to long to be able to hear what the Spirit is saying to me so that when I press into that, I can see God. I can give myself, put myself in a position where the God of heaven can come and bring the miraculous into my life. And especially in those situations which are challenging and difficult and impossible for me to do anything about it anyway. You know, it's like that famous, like says, why not bring it to Him in prayers? As we bring it to Him in prayers, there's nothing we can do about it anyway, but when we bring it to Him in prayers and accordance with His will, He hears us. But who is willing to pay the price? Who is willing to press through that crowd? Who is willing not to be held back by their limitations and the limitations that everybody else has placed around them? Who is willing to say, Lord, for your sake, I will go through this trip. For your sake, I'm going to press through this. For your sake, I'm going to give myself. I'm going to persevere. The Bible says she kept saying it to herself. It wasn't a one-off thing. We have to read that story and we think, oh, she just got up one day, just got there and just touched Jesus. No, it's more than that. If we look at that story properly, there was a real process. There was a real hunger. There was a real task. There was a real desire and a pressing in. There was a really walking through a process she went through. But God honored that. God always honors faith. Because when we exercise faith, we're honoring God. We're saying, God, you are worthy. You are true. You are who you say you are. He says, faith is the evidence, the assurance of things we hope for. The evidence of the things we don't see. We're saying, God, we trust you that you are who you say you are. So that when we press into faith, when you exercise faith in God, God honors the faith because in exercising faith, we honor God. We're saying, God, we trust you. We know you are who you say you are. That woman says, Jesus is the Messiah. If I can touch Him, I know I can be made whole. Jesus has just said to Jairus, I'm going to go and touch your daughter and she's going to be whole. So he can do it. But she says, well, I'm going to press into that. If you can do it for Jairus, you can do it for me. If you can do it for Jairus, you can do it for me. If you can do it for my brother, for my sister, you can do it for me. What can He do for you? It can bring you into the place of wholeness and fullness. Because that's His promise for us. It says every spiritual blessing in the high places is made available for us. And Jesus has come to freely give us everything that pertains to life and to godliness. And whatever binds us, whatever shameful thing, whatever chains or yoke, no matter how impossible, even things that are physically impossible, even things that the doctors can't do anything about, even things that you've battled on for years and for decades, they give way at the touch of Jesus. But we can initiate that touch. We can press in. We can go after Jesus. As we open ourselves to His Spirit, man. You know, for me, it's just because sometimes we can get a block here because we don't want to, we want to be careful theologically. We don't want to get into this bit of say, oh, I claim something and I get it. And therefore you think, oh, I shouldn't do anything. I should just stand back. You know, if God wants it for me, it will happen or something like that. But sometimes that can rob us of the blessings of God in our lives. That can rob us of the ability to engage God in the work of faith. I was reading something yesterday and he gave a definition of prayer by Dutch Sheets. And she said, prayer is not a check. Let me read it so I get it right. Let me just read what she said. Prayer is not a check request asking for things from God. It is a deposit slip, a way of depositing God's character into a bankrupt soul. I really love that. He says, when we pray, because sometimes that's where the theological challenge is. Prayer is not like a check. You say, God, that's it. Give me this, give me this, give me this. No, no, you say, no, it's not a check. It's a deposit slip. If you go in there and say, God, deposit something in my spirit, man. Something that changes me, that changes my character, that makes me more like you, that brings wholeness. Something that aligns me to your will, to your counsel. So it's not about commanding God and making God do whatever you want. No, no, no. It's about putting yourself in a place where God can come and do what he wants to do. What he desires to do, what he longs to do, what he has already paid the price for, what he's already achieved for you in Christ Jesus, the victory that he's already won for us. He wants to bring this in perpetuity. He wants us to know and experience the reality of the life of a son in us. He's called us to fill us with his life. He says, when you receive him, he gives us life and life in all of his fullness. So when we pray, it's a deposit. Where we say, Lord, I'm putting a deposit slip so that you can deposit something in my spirit, man, that changes me, that transforms me, that aligns me to be who you have called me to be. That I can go into the fullness of what you are. I'm putting myself in a position where your spirit can lay hold of me, transform me, change me, and make me who you want me to be. I'm putting myself in a place where your spirit can come and do business with me, where you can sanctify me, where you can purify me, where you can do what you want to do. But I am pursuing you. I am initiating that. I am laying hold of that. We have a part to play, brothers and sisters. But when we seek him, the Bible says in Hebrews, it says, there is a labor for the people of God, but that labor brings us into rest. The travail of our soul is not a wasted effort. The travail of our soul is not a wasted effort. It brings us into the rest of God. The Bible says, yes, we travel, we labor. But when we labor, it brings us into rest. Because it's not a wasted laboring. It's an exercise of faith that is saying to God, we trust you, we believe you, that what you say, who you say you are, you're able to do that. And we put ourselves in a position where you can deposit the work of grace in my spirit, man, so that I can be changed, I can be transformed, and I can be utterly brought into this new place. Like I said, I'm just beginning to unpack this for myself. But in the last couple of weeks, that has really, it's done something in my heart. It's done something in my heart. And it's done something about my pursuit for him. Because suddenly I realized, actually, no, there is reward in labor. When he says, seek me with all your heart, you will find me. It is true. And oftentimes we haven't found him because we haven't sought him. Or when we've sought him, we've not sought him with all of our hearts. And that's not a criticism. It's just what it is. But he still robs us of the privilege and of the glorious beauty that we could know. And the cry of his heart is as his children that we will come to know the joy of seeking him. Because we have this God who is so, so benevolent. That in our seeking him, he meets you where you are. He meets you exactly at your point of need. He meets you in a point that makes sense to you. It may not make sense to anybody else, but he knows you intimately. And when we seek him with all of our heart, he meets you in a way that makes sense and he touches the deepest need of your heart. In closing, I remember the story when I was walking in the south of Nigeria a while ago and I had this child I was treating and things were not going well. He was having diarrhea, he was vomiting. And I could say I was in a rural clinic just there and I said to the parents, you've got to take this child to the main hospital in the city. I think I'm going to lose this child. You need to move now. And the parents looked at me and said, well, I'm sorry. You've done your best. If I take him away from you, he's going home. I'm not going to any hospital. I said, why would you want to do that? I said, I just lost his older brother. We were in the hospital for 3 months. We paid so much money, he still ended up dying anyway. If he's going to die, we might as well at least go home. Let him have a nice few days. And then at least I've still got other children. I've got to look up there after them. I don't have money. And that moment, my heart just broke. And I just said, what am I going to do here? I looked at him and I said, okay, well, professionally I've done all I could do. And you want to take this child home? I said, okay, well, rather than take him home, do you mind? the nursing sister there was a Christian. I said, do you mind if myself and the nurse just pray for your child before you take him home? Said, you know, you can do whatever you like to, as long as you like, because I'm going home anyway, you know. And then he just left us. And in that moment, we just looked at each other. There was nothing we could do. We just said, Lord, this is so sad. They've just lost a son, and now another son is dying. I said, let's just pray for this child. And we just started praying. And we just got lost in that. And then we just kept praying. And then the next thing I realized was, this child is not pouring anymore. It's vomiting and ceased. And then the next thing I realized, after it must be, I don't know, maybe about an hour or so, it just seems to stop. So I went back again, tried to feel a pulse. I couldn't get a pulse. I finally got a femoral, which is somewhere in his thighs, managed to get some fluids into it, and then we started, you know, rehydrating this child. And eventually this child survived and went home. And I remember the dad came in to visit me and brought me a gift, and I opened it, and it was a Bible. And he was giving me a gift of a Bible. And for whatever reason, while I was reading this, it kind of, the Holy Spirit just took me to that and said, at that point in time, it was almost like this woman's situation. That's never happened to me before, but there's some time where God just sets something up in your heart. But the exact desire he put in our heart for that child was exactly, and in that moment, God came and met us that need. And that family went away knowing that there is a miraculous God. We could have said, oh, no, what's the point in doing that? And just say, well, you know, I've done my best as a doctor, you know. Because he thanked me. He was grateful for all I've done. He knew I'd really done my best, and he was going to take that. But in that moment, God just said something in our heart. And so can I just encourage us that we're studying about preparing. We're studying about getting ready for the move of God. We're talking about, you know, putting ourselves in a position, waiting for God's revival. In doing that, God is going to be stirring up our hearts. There's going to be a demand on you and I to pursue him. To pursue him differently, to do something. And it's not just the outward stuff. It's stuff God is going to be doing in our heart. But your Father who says in secret rewards you in the open. It will honor that faith. It will honor the pursuit. You know, those times of intercession, those times of prayer, whatever it is he's putting upon your heart to do, he will reward you openly. Give yourself to it. You don't know what God wants to do with it. You will never know what God will do with it. But the challenge is, will you step out and allow and see what God wants to do? Let's pray. Father, as we close, I would like us to pray for one another just as we close the worship of God. And all I just want you to just to pray a prayer. If you're comfortable, just pray for your brother or your sister in pairs, and just say, you just pray a blessing for them, that they will respond to the stir of the Spirit in the season that we're in now. It doesn't matter what has happened in the last 12 years. We're in a new season, brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter whether you struggled with this for the last 10 years. No, it doesn't matter. Because we are in a new season, and God is wanting to do something new. And it's about stepping out in faith and responding to him. So just pray for your brother, pray for your sister. Just ask the Lord to give them a fresh impetus. And just say, Lord, in this new season, I just pray a blessing on my brother to just reach out in you and just step out in faith. And whatever stirring your spirit is putting upon their hand, Lord, let them do it. Sorry, we've slightly overrun. Yeah, as usual. So let's do that for a few minutes, and then we just closing worship. If while we're preaching there's anything specifically you feel God is putting on your heart, or you think you will need prayer, I can encourage you to you can come out. As we gather, we'll be able to just have some ministry time. If anybody would like some prayer, we'll do that as well. But just together, as we just round up, just let's just pray for one another, and then I'll give them a few minutes to pray for one another, and then we can just take worship. You can